Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Before we hear God's word, please join me in prayer. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voices but your own, so that we may hear your word. Amen. Then little children were being brought to him in order that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." And he laid his hands on them and went on his way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, in his short story entitled The Second Child, an author by the name of Philip Gully once wrote, quote, "When my wife and I were expecting our first child, we decided we wanted to have five children. Then our first child was born, and we thought, you know, two children has a nice ring to it." He said, "When our first pregnancy test came back positive, I called 100 of my closest friends, but when the second test turned pink, I called my therapist." Gully goes on to explain the difference between first children and second children. First children, he said, have enormous wardrobes. Second children, well, they wear hand-me-downs. First children, they are treated like porcelain. Second children, more like Tupperware. When your first child drops a pacifier, you pick it up, you boil it in water for 10 minutes. When your second child drops a pacifier, you tell the dog to fetch. Yeah, sometimes it is the youngest in our societies that are often the most forgotten. They're the most overlooked. And yet Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." Which is to say, in his ministry, Jesus didn't run from the youngest in society. Instead, he embraced them. He welcomed them. That's why this morning we are beginning a new sermon series where we are going to look at the intersection of faith and children. Now, over the next 5 weeks, we're not simply going to read stories about children in the scripture, we're going to hear their voices as well. On Youth Sunday, on the Sunday when the African Children's Choir visits, on Confirmation Sunday at the end of February, we are going to allow the children to teach us, because here's the thing when it comes to faith. When it comes to faith, sometimes parents raise their children, but then again, sometimes children raise their parents. And through them, you learn just a little bit more about what God's kingdom is like. So over this next month, we're going to learn what it means to have faith like a child. Before we dive in to this new sermon series, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Amen. Well, I have a horrifying statistic for you this morning. Did you know, according to a 2017 Pew Research Center study, approximately 36% of all adults aged 18 to 31 still live at home with their parents. That's over one in three. Now, in areas where there is a high cost of living, say in New York or in New Jersey, that number rises to 45%. You know, when I went to college at age 18, my parents immediately gave away all my childhood furniture. They turned my childhood bedroom into a gym. But now many adults find themselves still sleeping in a twin bed well into their 30s, which of course is horrifying news for anyone who has young children. But here is the question. Why does it happen? Now, why do some kids fail to launch? Now, there's not one agreed-upon answer, and many people have offered different suggestions. Some psychologists out there say the reason is that we have coddled kids too much and we have failed to teach them to be independent. They don't live by themselves because they can't live by themselves. Still, there are some economists out there who say actually the reason is financial. What with the rising cost of living and insurance, many young people can't have a starter job and still afford to live on their own. Still, there are sociologists out there who say the reason relates to social media and HGTV, which paints an unrealistic picture of what living independently should be like. No longer are we satisfied with the one-bedroom studio walk-up. Now we want the rustic farmhouse with the top-end finishes and the fenced-in yard. Now, I, for one, have made it a point not to judge anyone who chooses to move back with their parents because, well, let's be honest, that's exactly what I did after college. Which was awkward given the fact I had to live in the gym. But most experts agree it's not good for a child to stay a child forever. After all, isn't that the point of parenting? Isn't that why we put so much effort into raising our children? We want to lead them into adulthood. Isn't that why we take them to high school and teach them algebra so they can mature? Don't we all need to grow up eventually? Well, if so, then why did Jesus say to his disciples, "Unless you become like children, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven"? It's such a strange reversal Jesus gives the disciples in our scripture passage this morning. It's so antithetical to the way our world works. Here are the disciples. They're arguing about who is the greatest, who's going to be the most powerful. They're arguing about whose ship is going to launch the highest. And in the middle of the argument, Jesus shows them a child. He said, "Whoever becomes humble like this child, they will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Goes on to tell them that the kingdom of heaven, it belongs to children. Now, evidently, there's something about God's kingdom that's not meant for the adult and the mature. Evidently, there's something about God's kingdom that's meant for the young and the childish. Somehow, children are predisposed to greatness in the kingdom of God. But why? But what makes children so unique? You know, maybe the reason children are so well suited for God's kingdom is simply the fact that children are naturally curious creatures. They want to know more about the world around them. The astronomer Carl Sagan once said, "Every kid starts out a natural-born scientist, and then we adults beat it out of them." And it's true. There's a natural curiosity that's hidden within every child that you can't help but want to learn more about. Children want to understand the world better. They want to understand how God is at work all around them. This past Christmas, I was spending time with my 7-year-old nephew who was sitting quietly on the couch watching the iPad. I said to him, "Albert, what are you watching?" He said, "Uncle David, I am watching a show all about dinosaurs." I said, "That's great, buddy. I hope you enjoy." Hour later, he's still on the couch. I say, "Albert, what are you watching?" He said, "Uncle David, I'm watching another show about dinosaurs." 2 hours after that, "Albert, what are you watching?" "I'm watching a show about dinosaurs." 7 hours of dinosaurs. He couldn't get enough. In fact, if the batteries hadn't died on the iPad, I'm pretty sure he might have gone extinct as well. But that's how it is with kids. They want to learn. They want to understand. They want to know more. And maybe that's a quality all of us need. If we're ever going to truly appreciate God's kingdom, maybe we all need that deep hunger, that desire to grow in our knowledge and our love of God. Earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, we read the very first thing Jesus did whenever he entered a new village was he always went to the synagogue and he began to teach. He wanted his disciples to grow in their faith. And of course, in order to grow in your faith, you must first be willing to learn. So is that why the kingdom of heaven belongs to children? Is it because children are natural learners? Is it their curiosity that sets them apart? Well, maybe. But then again, maybe it's something else. Because you see, in addition to being curious creatures, children can also be rather stubborn. Did you know that about kids? You see, the younger you are, the more childish you are, the more unyielding and obstinate you can be. Now, don't get me wrong, we all want our children to be independent and headstrong, just not while we are raising them. When my uncle was just 2 years old, he got into a famous family showdown with my grandfather one evening over whether or not he would eat the meat pot pie and banana pudding my grandmother had made for dinner. The two of them locked eyes at the table and refused to leave. They both dug in their heels. Finally, after several hours, my uncle went to bed hungry. Next morning, he woke up, sat down at the breakfast table, and what was served to him for breakfast but meat pot pie and banana pudding? Children, they can be stubborn creatures. And maybe in the kingdom of God, that is a very good thing. After all, Jesus told a story about a stubborn widow, a persistent widow who kept knocking until she finally got justice. Jesus told his disciples that they are to pray always and never lose heart. The Apostle Paul once wrote to a church in Corinth saying, "I was crushed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken. I was struck down but not destroyed." Maybe we all need a little bit more stubbornness in our life if we're going to fully appreciate God's kingdom. Maybe it takes a headstrong person to be able to break through the adversity of this world if we're ever going to glimpse the world God is creating all around us. So is that why Jesus says children are the first to enter the kingdom of heaven? Is it because children are stubborn? That also is a pretty good answer, but of course, it's not the only one. Because you see, in addition to being curious creatures and stubborn creatures, children have a unique ability to love and care for others. And maybe that's what sets them apart for God's kingdom. Maybe children are able to love in ways that are, well, uniquely Christ-like. The 17th century politician William Penn once said, "Trust yourself, everyone else will disappoint you." But that's not how children operate. It's not how they think. Children, they think the best in others. They want the best for others. They care for others and show compassion for them in ways that are, well, often reckless and indiscriminate. Several years ago at the Special Olympics in Seattle, Washington, 9 children lined up for the 100-yard dash. And at the sound of the gun, all 9 took off sprinting. After just a first few meters, one of the boys in the race fell, landing on the ground so hard he instantly burst into tears in frustration and embarrassment. The cries echoed throughout the entire stadium, so loud, in fact, that the other runner stopped and turned back. One of the girls in the race, a girl with Down syndrome, heard her friend crying. She walked back to him. She knelt down beside him, and she kissed him on the head and said, there, that'll make it better. Together, the two of them, they stood. They joined arms and they walked together to the finish line. As perhaps children, they just know how to love in a way that is uniquely Christ-like. Maybe their compassion exceeds our own, and it allows them to see God's kingdom in places where we simply couldn't see it. As Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless you become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." You know, it's ironic. 36% of all parents are doing everything they can think of to get their kids to grow up and move out. But the only thing God has ever asked you to do is to come back home again. And Jesus said, "In my Father's house there are many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, so that where I am, there you may be also." Yes, that is the Benjamin Button faith we believe in. A faith where we become younger as we become older and wiser. Because all God has ever asked you to do is to be the child He created you to be. So come home. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey today, come back to your Father's house, because God never intended for you to live on your own to begin with. Pack up all your curiosity, all your stubbornness, all of your compassion and love, and come back home again. Because the kingdom of heaven, well, it is meant for children. Children like you and like me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you that indeed you welcome us home again. Not into a house made with earthly hands, but a house that is eternal in the heavens. So God, grant us such faith that by day and by night we may indeed be your children. Not striving for independence and freedom, but instead striving for dependence and love. God, humble us like a child. Grant us those qualities that would help us see your kingdom everywhere we go. For we offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen. I'd invite you to stand for our closing hymn.